Thank you for tuning in. We'll get to your program right after this short word from our sponsor.
Balance Virtually provides full-service financial planning services for small businesses, nonprofits, and startups. We can help you manage your monthly reporting, bank and credit card reconciliations, budget and forecasting, payroll services, and much more. To schedule a consultation with a certified public accountant with over 16 years of experience helping people like you, visit balancevirtually.com. Balance Virtually, your locally owned full-service financial planning service company. Welcome to the Veronica Edwards Show, where we have fun financial conversations that everyone listening can apply to their personal and professional life. I'm your host, Veronica Edwards, and I'm so excited to be back season 3 here on bizradio.us. Always want to thank the V team. We are approaching 3,000 downloads, which is our goal for season 3. So I appreciate you guys jumping on that pretty early in the season. And so today I'm super excited to have a multi-talented fellow Biz Radio host and the owner of Tor White Consulting, a mental health training and consulting firm dedicated to empowering others. And it was also recently announced this year that Ms. Tor White Garrison is the reparations project director. Not only is she the director, she is the first. She's the inaugural director here in Asheville. So this is going to be a great show. And without further ado, I would like to introduce my friend, Ms. Tor White Garrison. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Veronica, and congratulations on almost 3,000 downloads.
Come on now, we trying to go viral. You know, I'm not, it ain't no Beyonce numbers, but you know, I'm trying.
Listen, snap.
So, Miss Tor, do you go by Miss Tor White Garrison? Are you Miss White Garrison?
Look, I'm still trying to get used to the last name, so just Tor for right now.
Yes. Well, Tor, please tell the listeners all about you, where you're from, and how you landed this historic position as the inaugural reparations project director.
Yes. So I am an Asheville native, born and raised. I've left a couple of times, but Asheville is home. Many generations of my family has lived in Asheville and continue to live in Asheville. So, you know, previously I had spoken about how I had worked for the federal government for 10 years and decided to step out on faith and start my own company and work for myself. Well, then earlier this year, I was contacted by a fellow friend who was like, hey, I heard about this position. I think it would be perfect for you. And I was very hesitant because I was like, you know what? I've been working for myself. I really don't have time to work for somebody else.
Exactly.
I don't have it. I like having flexibility in my schedule. I like being able to be there for my kids when they get home from school, you know, all those different things. But as I was looking at the job description and as I was continuing to read what was happening, not just locally, but nationally as well, I was like, you know what? I know this work and I'm passionate about this work. And also I understand what it takes to get this work done. And so I decided to apply. And the crazy thing is, it was during the same time that I'm preparing for my wedding. You know, everything is happening all at once. And it wasn't until after my honeymoon, I got back and found out that I got it. And I was like,
wow. So this was all around like that March, April timeframe of 2023.
Yes. And so I moved into the role May 1st of this year. And I'm starting from the bottom and really creating this organization, RSAA, from the ground. So implementing policies and making sure that we are a nonprofit organization that is not just a now organization, but a future organization, right? Because I think a lot of times people have ideas, we get together and we execute it in the now, but we don't think about how it's going to be sustainable. And one of the things for me, sustainability matters. And so in everything that I'm creating now and the foundation that I'm putting forth, I want to make sure it's solid. So no matter who comes into this position after me, the foundation is set.
I love all that. And you mentioned RSAA, which is the Reparations Stakeholder Authority of Asheville. So this all started back, what, summer of 2020, that Asheville made national news that we are going to be the first city to give reparations. So, you know, all of us Black people, like, well, when's going to happen, man? You know, it's been 3 years later. So tell us, you know, was the Reparations Stakeholder Authority of Asheville, RSAA, created to implement how we're going to do reparations, and then they hired you? Like, how does it all work? Because there's so many misconceptions when people hear the word reparations.
Right. So a little bit backstory. When George Floyd was murdered, there was a lot of just uproar around the nation, right? And so people started having these conversations about things that were happening that directly affected Black citizens, right? Black people living in the United States. And it included police brutality. It included systemic racism. It included systemic oppression, all these different things. And so you had a lot of people with a lot of asks. And I don't know if you all remember, but one of the big asks that Asheville had was the removal of the Vance Monument. Well, with that ask was also, what can we do to pay Asheville Black citizens money regarding the trauma that has happened as a direct effect of Asheville and Buncombe County. And so out of this, you know, there was an understanding that the city of Asheville and Buncombe County commissioners would have their say in, you know, there's going to be funds, how can we do this, et cetera. And so they created the Reparations Commission, right? And so they have these multiple interest focus areas. They have five of them. And it's all created from Asheville City, Buncombe County. The people are appointed by them, et cetera. Well, then outside, after that, it was the realization that there needs to be an organization that can not only hold the city and county accountable, but also be able to hold funds and directly be able to give those funds out. And one of the things that was realized is that a lot of times decisions like this are made without Black people being a part of the decision making.
Absolutely. And I'm so excited that you're from Asheville and you're an African-American woman that, like you said, you've left and you've come, but you're born and raised, you're homegrown here. So I'm so glad that they, I hate to say it, didn't get an old white man to be in this position, because then it's like a slap in the face.
Right. And that's, again, being very intentional on how RSAA was birthed. And so with the birth of the organization, the purpose of it was, like, I always tell people, FUBU, for us, by us. And really making sure that Black is the center focus. So our Black membership is the focus. Everything that is RSAA works around our Black membership. And some of the things that people don't understand is where governments, because you're receiving government funds and because there's a lot of just red tape in government, they're not able to do certain things that we can do as RSAA. You know, they have to be careful about language. They have to be careful not to be sued, et cetera. And ultimately, they have to be careful not to do things so they don't lose their position, right? RSAA doesn't have to worry about those things. We are really being very intentional about our membership being Black. And Black only. That is, you know, there's a couple of things that are required for membership, but that is to be over the age of 18, Black Ashevillian or living in Buncombe County. And that's the extent of it, you know, like you and willing to offer your voice. And so, yeah, that's really the basis of where RSAA came from, making sure that we were completely separate. RSAA, one of the things that has been absolutely great is that we're receiving funds already. You know, those funds are not necessarily coming from the city and the county. Should they be? Yes. Mm-hmm. But they're not. There are people and organizations who are already acknowledging the harm and acknowledging the success that they've received on the backs of Black people, right? And so they're willing and ready to pay.
I love it. So, Tor, is RSAA a nonprofit as of now, or was it just an organization that was created to figure out, okay, how are we going to make this sustainable? First, we need to hire a reparations project director like yourself. So what is the structure of RSAA?
Yes. So we right now are under a fiduciary. So we have a fiscal sponsor, which is ZEDEC Social Justice Fund. Mm-hmm. And we are in the process of getting our 501c3 status. Wonderful. We are already recognized with North Carolina State Secretary. We have our EIN, you know, all those different mm-hmm. things that are required. We've submitted our articles of incorporation. We're just at the point now where we're finalizing that 501c3 paperwork and waiting on that that process to go through. And once that happens, we will officially be a nonprofit. However, everything is being created under the sense of nonprofit. So like everything that the policies we're putting in place, the things that we're doing when we reach out to people, mm-hmm. We are letting them know, yeah, nonprofit is definitely the route. And we do currently have that fiduciary person.
No, that's great. And as I always like to plug, Balance Virtually is available for RSAA once they get all that paperwork handled to be the integral accounting firm to help you out.
Yes. So
please let me know.
Yes. And that's another thing, like, which is one of the things that I'm really, again, intentional about is utilizing these Black businesses, these Black people, just not with the membership, but with the board, with the companies that we hire, et cetera, like really making sure that we are in charge of how we receive,
I guess, support in any kind of way.
Yeah. And I really want, like, I want people to understand, because I think there's a lot of false narratives out there. Yes. Reparations is about more than money.
And I just, not to cut you off, Tor, I just want to, because I pulled up the definition. I said, let me just see what they have in the Oxford Dictionary. And it says, reparations is the making of amends for a wrong one has done by paying money to or otherwise helping those who have been wronged.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not always money.
No, it's money and. I tell people all the time, it's money and. When I think about, when you think about restorative justice, it's more than just money.
Mm-hmm.
Because I tell people all the time, if I throw someone and let's say I give someone $100,000, let's say someone wins the lottery,
mm-hmm.
and they have $100,000, but the system is in place, there's a system in place, they won't receive, one, they're not going to receive their $100,000 because it's going to be taxed.
Yep.
But then if they owe all these other entities, if they don't know how to get a financial person, if they don't mm-hmm. know how to manage money, mm-hmm. all these different things, the system continues to work against them and not for them. And so when I explain restorative justice to people, I say, listen, it's not just you handing over this money that, yes, we're owed, because uh-huh. you paid, the United States has paid money or some type of reparations to every single being that has been harmed within the United States, except for Black people.
Wow.
Except for Black people. Every other ethnicity, religion, etc., has, when they've called for reparations, whether they called it that or not, has been paid some type of restitution other than Black people. Wow. And so when I talk about it, I'm like, we also have to have that education piece. And we also have to make sure policies are being changed. Because if policies continue in the way that they were created, they're going to continue harming us.
Yep. Absolutely. And, you know, for you to hit on the fact that so many other groups that when they've asked for reparations, they've received it is very telling. And with you, I'm curious, Tor, if you can share with us your journey being a Black woman in this role, in this historic role. Have you felt supported?
That's a loaded question. I will say that I have met thus far. Before I answer that, let me go back to saying that I'm not new to this type of work. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this type of work for many, many, many years, and a lot of it at the national level. Wow. Right? So I've been in rooms with politicians. I've been in rooms with the president. I've been in rooms.
What president?
You know, our governor. Like, I've been in a lot of different spaces.
Wow.
Right? I've been in a lot of different spaces. I've had tough conversations with a lot of quote unquote top decision makers, right? With our Congress, mm-hmm. with our Senate, et cetera. Like, I've been doing this. I come from a grassroots organizing background, right? Yep. Union work, et cetera. So in moving into this role, I do feel like I've had support in a sense of people knowing that I know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
But also there has been a lot of like, I don't know. I really try to, and I'm gonna try to be careful in how I say this. But there has been more, and I won't say more people than I thought it would be, because I expected there to be people who struggled with me being in this position, but there have been people who just want to work against it. And unfortunately, I think that, again, that's oppression working as it's supposed to.
Yep.
Because we tend to work against our own. And sometimes we work against our own and we forget that we're harming ourselves in the process, because I'm not doing this work for me, right? I'm doing this work for everybody else.
Exactly.
And I'm doing this work to make sure that my kids and their kids continue to reap the benefits and continue to be able to undo harm that has been done for centuries, right? Mm-hmm. I don't want my kids to have to worry about if they can move into a certain neighborhood simply because their skin is Black, right? And so, yeah, it's been really eye-opening to see the amount of people that have been supportive. And I mean, if I'm being quite frank, a lot of those people are non-Black.
I was just going to say, a lot of your supporters will not look like you. And I hate that sometimes those folks don't get the credit, because we could go all the way back in history. There is no Underground Railroad without people that aren't Black. You know, there aren't actually historically Black colleges to help folks get education if it wasn't for non-Black people. So yes, I love that RSAA, you guys are so intentional in making sure that it's for us, by us. But I'm so glad that you did mention too, in that journey, there's still a lot of hate and there's a lot of resistance from our Black and Brown community.
Yeah, definitely. And again, there is support out there. And I try to move in a space of focusing on those who are ready to get on the train, mm-hmm. and not those who are willing to see the train go by a few times before they want to jump on. And even with the model of RSAA, really, again, like the nucleus is the membership, that Black membership. But again, like you said, it takes an ecosystem. Mm-hmm. I call it an ecosystem of organized disruptors.
Ooh, because I like that.
In order to disrupt intentionally, you have to be organized. Mm-hmm. And if you're not organized, the disruption looks like chaos, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the ecosystem of organized disruptors includes what historically we have called allies. I call them space shifters, because Ooh. Those individuals are non-Black, and those are individuals who are ready to acknowledge the harm, acknowledge the what they how they benefited from the harm, and also ready and willing to do the work. And they do the work not necessarily instead of us doing the work. They're not doing just going out doing work. They're doing the work that we call them to do. Right. So really making sure we're in charge of that, right? Making sure that we're in charge of the education. I will say one of the things that bothers me a lot is when I get in spaces with people. You know, I've talked to you about times I've been in like DEI spaces and everything.
Yes.
And we have quote unquote allies, and they say, well, you know, I just don't understand why. Well, you're not here yet.
Right. Because if you don't understand, I don't know how to make you understand.
Yeah, and I'm tired of explaining why my black skin has been discriminated against. I'm tired of explaining that, and I shouldn't have to keep explaining it. I also don't need you to tell me how you're sorry. I need you to have those conversations with your family members. Have those conversations at the table. Have those conversations in spaces where black voices are not elevated. And so that's really where our space shifters come into play, because they're really shifting spaces, whether it's internal spaces, financial spaces, or spaces where they're at board meetings or, you know, at churches, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And they're like, look, and the conversations are being had, they're able to come in and say like, no, it's time for us to look at this differently.
Absolutely. Well, Tor, we're already, I have to have you back to the end of the show. So you have so many things you can plug. I definitely want you to plug RSAA, how people can become members, organize disruptors, space shifters, also plug, you know, your business, Tor White Consulting, all ways that we can get in contact with you and support you, please.
Yes. Yeah, so RSAA, we have a website, rsaasheville.org. Also RSA Asheville on Facebook. So follow us on both of those places. On our website, you can see how to join as a member or join as a part of that ecosystem. As far as my business, Tor White Consulting, we are still operating and ready. So you can find me on all social media platforms at Tor White Consulting. Also my website, torwhitellc.com.
And I love all your stuff on your website and all your pictures. You always do a great job, Tor. Again, I'm trying to be like you when you grow up. You're a mom, you're a sister, you're a daughter, you're this. You know, you're a businesswoman. You got the radio job. I don't know how you do it all, but I'm just so thankful that you are doing this work, because we need someone exactly like you. So there was no mistake why you were chosen for this role. So thank you, thank you, thank you again for making time, for coming on the show. I want to thank all the listeners for tuning into BizRadio.us. Please come back next week, same time, same place, 10 a.m. on Wednesdays for the Veronica Edwards Show. And if you missed the live airing, you can listen to all prior shows, veronicaedwards.buzzsprout.com, and also check out Real Talk with Simply Tor, also on bizradio.us.
Thank you for listening. If you liked what you just heard, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and be sure to visit bizradio.us to find hundreds of other engaging conversations, local events, and more.